Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here, as we are every weekday, to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. And we want to hear from you, to know what's on your mind. So please give us a call at 844-322-2742. Anything you'd like to bring to the table today, we're here to talk about it with you. In both the U.S. and Canada, we invite your calls, whatever the question, whatever the circumstance. The phone is 844-322-2742. But call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us. And, Andrew, welcome as always.
Yes. Hey, great to be with you guys.
Boy, yeah. We sure had a great time at the United Conference, didn't we?
Oh, it was awesome.
It was awesome. We had a couple of great emails that came in over the last couple of days, and Andrew, they were addressed to you as well, so I wanted to read them on the air. This is from our friend Tim, who pastors a church up in the Indianapolis area, and he said, "One more time, I'd like to express my gratitude to each of you for the excellent United Conference. I am blessed beyond measure. As I look at my notes from your presentations, I think I came up with no less than 8 new sermon ideas on the love of God, the true identity of the believer, and how united we are in Christ." And he says, "I look forward to future events until he comes." And so that was a great one from Tim. Yeah. And then this one from Tammy, who came to us from the Atlanta area. And she says, "I want to highly thank you for such an amazing weekend. The conference was so uplifting. I asked God 2 years ago to send me other sisters and brothers in his name, and he delivered." And she says, "At the Lord's Supper, I felt like an unstoppable, untouchable bullet ascending up with Christ. I couldn't hold my tears back." And she says, "Much love, my brother, and to your entire staff." So I thought those were just two excellent comments. And Andrew, I just thought the event couldn't have been any better. It was just wonderful to teach together with you. I thought everything just blended, was just so united from start to finish, yes. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it really was. And to see people from all over the country who maybe they hadn't seen each other in a couple of years with COVID. Maybe it had been 3 or 4 years for some of them. And so for all of us to get together and have that fellowship as Basic Gospel Nation united together, it was a beautiful thing. And I got to meet some new people along the way. And from start to finish, Bob, really, it was just incredible, a beautiful experience for all of us. And I think everybody came away encouraged. You know, I had an opportunity to talk about the future of the ministry. You had an opportunity to talk about where we've come from and all that's been accomplished and the people that have been reached. The staff was recognized across the board. People applauded all of their efforts for years and years of service. The whole thing from start to finish was an incredible experience for me. And I know, you know, it just seeing the excitement in other people's eyes, it was a big encouragement all the way around.
Yes, indeed. And I learned about a new spiritual gift that I had, and the gift of thoroughness. I didn't even know that was one, and I discovered that I had it.
Right. You were thorough, Bob, and I think people really enjoyed that, benefited
yeah.
from it.
Andrew went up to my son, Coleman, at the 70-minute mark of one of my messages and said, "Wow, your dad has the gift of thoroughness." And, I just laughed out loud on that, but I thought, hey, I was just going to give it my all, so...
That's right. That's
but boy, we had a lot of fun. And what I just love about conferences like this is to see how God ministers to people, see how he takes those messages, those words, and he really plants them in people's hearts in such a tangible way. One of the guys came up afterwards and he talked about, "I'm finally resting in the Lord. I've been hearing about it. I've even talked about it. But now I know that I know that I know that I'm resting in the Lord." And others, you know, were driving stakes as far as assurance of salvation. It was just beautiful to see God's Spirit do his work in the lives of so many people that were there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you know the gospel at a surface level. You know enough to call upon the Lord to be saved, and that's exciting. And then, I don't know, for some people it's a year passes, others a decade, and somewhere along the way you lose what everyone calls the joy of your salvation. And you say, where did it go? And, of course, Jesus is there the whole time. But when we get together like we did and we go scripture by scripture, you talk about just a journey through the scriptures to discover the depths of God's grace, and it becomes your foundation. You sink your teeth into God's grace like never before, and that joy is restored. You start celebrating Christ again, because what really happened was it was about him at the beginning, and then you got sidetracked with religiosity, and then you go to an event like this and you just get encouraged, and it's about him again, and then there's a reason to celebrate again, and the depression lifts and the joy is restored. And you know, you saw that happen for a lot of people, and Bob, it's happened for you and me as we have come to know Christ in this way, walking in dependency on him. And boy, it's a lot more fun when it's about him.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about that verse in Colossians where it talks about Christ is our life. And I think that's what people really come to discover and to understand, that it's really his life that we get to enjoy, we participate in, and that's really what enables us to be who we truly are. And you know, it's not religion, it's not just doctrine, it's not just, you know, memorizing Bible verses. This is really sharing life with Christ. Him sharing his life with us enjoying that life by grace through faith. And I think that's what so many people miss out there in the Christian landscape. They're just looking at it as religion, looking at it as facts, looking at it as a doctrinal statement that I've checked off and say I believe it, and they're missing the life of Jesus.
Yeah, right. Well, it is about the life of Jesus, and, you know, you can receive that life and then, I guess, not really know what you've got. That's the way Romans 6 starts. You know, do you realize what you've got? Do you not know that you are united to Christ? I mean, that's Romans 6 right there. And, you know, Bob, I think about Afghanistan, and they're in rough shape right now, but what a lot of people don't know is they're kind of the Saudi Arabia of lithium. They've got in their mountains, in the depths of the ground there, they've got billions and billions of dollars in lithium right there in Afghanistan. And they've had it all along, but now they've just discovered it, and now they're starting to mine it and take advantage of it. I feel like that's what we were doing this past weekend. We were mining the depths of all that we have in Christ. It was always there in Christ Jesus, but discovering how good we've really got it, my goodness, Bob, that makes all the difference.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you, friends, for being with us. And although we are several days removed from the conference, if you were there and you'd like to share something that you took away from the conference, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Of course, whatever the question, whatever the need, we want to hear from you today on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. And, guys, we had several very good questions that came out of the conference. I thought perhaps I would like to read a couple of those and let you respond to them. This one is from Tracy, who came down to be with us from Kansas, and he said, could you say that John the Baptist stepping aside to make way for Christ would be the same as the law being moved out of the way to make way for grace?
That's interesting. Well, you know that John himself, John the Baptist, said that he had to decrease so that Christ would increase, and that's an interesting statement. I think what you've got in the case of the law and faith is you've got two concurrent systems. Let's not forget that the law is still alive today in terms of leading the unbeliever to Christ. The law convicts the unbeliever of all their ungodliness. It shows them their death and their need for life. So we haven't done away with the law. The law's not gone. It's just that we Christians have died to the law. And so in that sense, I think there's a difference. I mean, John the Baptist's ministry literally went away, and it was replaced by the ministry that Jesus brought in, this new covenant. Now, what's different about Moses is that there's still a purpose there. And even as Jesus said, hey, let me quote Moses at you, thou shalt not murder, but let me one-up it for you, thou shalt not get angry, or that's the same as murder. Hey, let me quote Moses to you, don't commit adultery, but hey, let me one-up it on you. Even if you look with lust, it's the same thing. So he was using Moses in a present tense to show them their hypocrisy and show them their spiritual death. Likewise today, you know, that's what happens to anybody who's honest about the Sermon on the Mount, who's honest about the 613 laws in the Old Testament. Those are there to say, you can't do it. You can't arrive. You'll never be righteous this way. And so we don't push the law out of the way. We let it stand in all of its perfect and impossible standard. And then it's not that the law changes. Instead, it's us. We pivot. We do a 180. We turn away from law toward the grace of God. And we say, you know what? I've got to be saved by grace through faith. Moses has led me to Jesus. But now that I'm in Jesus, I have no need for Moses. I'm dead to the law, free from the law, not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for me because I've believed.
Indeed. Yeah, good answer, Andrew. I've always looked at those passages where it talks about, you know, the law and the prophets testifying, bearing witness of Christ. And, you know, you certainly see John the Baptist being that final voice of those that would be listed as prophets from old, yes, testifying about Christ. And now that Christ was on the scene, man, it's time for Christ to do his work. And that's exactly what you saw happen with John the Baptist stepping aside and giving way to Jesus to take it from there.
Yeah, and you know, one more comment on that, because I think we get this John the Baptist statement twisted. You know, I must decrease, he must increase. Well, John's talking about his ministry. He's not talking about his entire person being eradicated or lessened. He was talking about his ministry. And there's too many Christians that grab hold of that statement, I must decrease, and then they try to be less, they try to be non-existent, they try to somehow eradicate their personality or be a hollow tube or be a fire hose, and oh my goodness, it's going to be all of Jesus and none of me. Well, hang on. No, John was talking about his ministry. Now, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You get to be yourself. You get to be the child of God that he made you to be. And he's not intimidated by your presence, by your personality, by your sense of humor. You get to be yourself and express Jesus at the exact same time. And Bob, to me, that's incredible. That right there is a miracle.
Yeah, that's what it means to be united with Christ. All of him, all of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. That's good news. That's right. Why this life is the best life.
Absolutely. And friends, remember, it's only because that you give that others might hear and believe and live in this eternal truth of the love and grace and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, they are waiting to hear the good news literally around the world. So please log on to basicgospel.net as soon as you can and make a donation to help this ministry keep the message of God's grace coming on the air and online. And when you make that gift, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's excellent book, God Without Religion. Andrew, talk to us a little bit about this. You said you really, really enjoyed writing this particular book.
Oh, I did, Bob, because there's a lot of humor in it, a lot of true stories. People won't believe what happened to me, mostly in South Bend, Indiana. I had quite an experience during my 5 years smack dab in the middle of Indiana there, actually on the Michigan border practically. And in that town, South Bend, I was robbed three times. An extortionist showed up at my doorstep to offer it all back at a price. Not to mention, we had our phone tapped. There were hundreds and hundreds of dollars of phone calls that were charged to our bill, and we didn't make them. Someone was tapping our line. So there's a lot of funny stories, a lot of crazy stories that are all true in this book, God Without Religion. I even talk about my grandmother being late to her own funeral, and I talk about laps around the Indy 500 track, which I was able to take as well. And so in those contexts of humor and storytelling, you're going to learn more about your identity in Christ, the freedom of God's grace, and what it means to live under a new covenant with Christ as your life. And so to me, it's a book where people will learn a lot, but they're going to have a great time along the way, and that's why it's my favorite.
God Without Religion, and of course, it's our way of saying thank you for your gift to support the message of grace on Basic Gospel, everybody. And you can make your gift now or any time when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of God Without Religion. Still got some time on the clock. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And guys, we had this question. Why are so many distracted today by the health and prosperity message?
Yeah, well, Bob, you talked a little bit about that at the conference, and some of the things that you were saying. I mean, you know, why wouldn't people be if they don't know any better? Because, you know, the allure of, oh, become a Christian and get wealthy, the allure of become a Christian and have perfect health. Well, if perfect health and perfect wealth were part of God's new covenant promise, there would be lineups outside of the church doors across the world. I mean, people aren't foolish. They'd be lining up because of the mass evidence of all of this health and wealth. But the reality is that's a pipe dream. It's an illusion. It's not at all what we're offered in Christ. I mean, you know, the early church, many of them were tortured and killed. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Paul spent time in prison. He told Timothy to use a little red wine for his stomach ailments. I mean, we got to recognize that even the Apostle Paul was sick. He thanked one of the early congregations for taking care of him in his illness. I mean, when is this going to stop? Paul warned us about this. He said that those who claim such things are of depraved mind. They're pushing the false idea that godliness is a means to financial gain, and also, for that matter, some sort of promise of earthly health in your physical body. And there's lots of sincere, eager children of God who know the truth, and they're suffering in a hospital bed. It may be from cancer or COVID or anything. And the last thing we need is for a preacher to stand up on Sunday morning and tell them, hey, you just need to have more faith. You just need to name it and claim it, gab it and grab it. Look, the reality is that Jesus is our contentment. Paul said that. I've learned the secret of contentment in all my circumstances, whether I have little or have plenty. Who's the contentment? Christ is. And so that's the true context of everybody's favorite verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not talking about being president or being an astronaut or name it, claim it in your career. No, the context is I can endure all things through Christ, whether I have little or have plenty. And that's because Christ is the secret to true contentment.
Great answer. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to talk with Curtis, who's listening to us right here in Dallas, Texas. Curtis, you're on Basic Gospel Radio. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I had kind of a simple, straightforward question, because that's pretty much what kind of guy I am, I guess. I was wondering, me and my little brother, he's a spiritual. We were talking this last weekend about our older brother that we had lost. And just a crazy, simple question. When you go to heaven, do you miss loved ones that didn't make it to heaven?
Great question. Yeah, I hear you, Curtis. Yeah. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that we are told there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow And when we enter into eternity with Christ, I think we're able to process all those things. But I do think we benefit from God's vantage point. And, you know, heaven is not a place where you're just experiencing downers all the time. I think you see in Revelation that he wipes away our tears and then gives us this proclamation of no more sorrow and no more tears. So to me, Bob, you know, we're gonna be aware. There's some sort of awareness, obviously. We don't get a frontal lobotomy when we hit heaven. We're able to process information. But there's a heavenly, godly, Jesus-centered perspective that we have. And there's some sort of healing that takes place inside of us, don't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, God's heart, he knows about those who have rejected him. He knows what was going on inside of them, that they loved evil more than they loved the light. And therefore, they turned away from God's offer of life. And that's, you know, God has a heart in, as far as that. And I think we're just going to have God's same heart when it's all said and done. But as you were saying, there's going to be incredible rejoicing. Our eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus. He's our reward. And we're going to enjoy that eternal fellowship, that just basking in his love like you know, we can only imagine at this point. So Curtis, just recognize you're going to have God's heart on that when you are with him.
Well, and I do understand too. I know there's and I tell people this all the time, I believe in my heart that there are things that maybe we just won't ever get the answers to until we're in the presence of God. You know what
yeah,
I mean? So
yeah.
Who's to say?
That's right. That's right. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, now all we can see of God is like a picture, a cloudy picture in a mirror, but it says later we will see him face to face. We don't know everything now, but then we will, just as God completely understands us. And that's 1 Corinthians 13:12. I think that's ultimately what we're saying here. We've got this earthly perspective. Right now we're limited. And later on, when we see him face to face, we've got not just a resurrection eyes, but we've got a resurrection brain. We've got a resurrection understanding. And with that comes a whole new perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. That helps a lot. Like I said, me and my little brother, we get into deep discussions sometimes, and that one just kind of came up this last week, and I was like, well, I know three guys I could call that could probably help out with that.
Yeah, that's great, Curtis.
Well, glad you did, Curtis, and sounds like you and your brother have some great conversations. So,
we do. Well, when we lost our big brother, it brought me and my little brother Chris a lot closer together, made us appreciate each other a lot more, and I do appreciate the answers, guys. I hope you have a very blessed day.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, my friend. You.
Final question, guys. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? Doesn't he already own our lives?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. We use that expression, I gave my life to Christ. And really what he does with that life, that old life, is he crucifies it. And he gives us his life. So true salvation is dying with Jesus and being buried with Christ. And then at that point, being raised to newness of life, he gives his life to us. Ultimately, that's true salvation.
Yes, indeed. And as we talked about at the conference, we as human beings, we're always in the receiving position. We yes. receive, God gives. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. And when we receive by grace, we receive him. That is the good news of the gospel. So when we understand it that way and recognize that we're receivers, we can just open up and receive all the goodness of God. We've received his life, and now it just keeps on it just keeps on coming. He constantly is giving, and it's a wonderful thing.
Well, that's it for today on Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us, and it's only because of you that we are here every day bringing this good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Your help of Remember is vital, so please donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew's great book, God without religion. Our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry, again, donate at basicgospel.net. And finally, if you have a Bible question or a personal issue that you'd like to pose and we're not on the air, if you're hearing a delayed broadcast, well, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. And, of course, we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program this week. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.